evening, everybody. Normally I would say good morning, but we are here at FedEx Field. You might be able to hear the rain in the background. It is still raining. You are here with myself, Tom Silverstein, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and my colleague, Jim Osarski. Say hi, Jim.
Hey, everybody.
Sure, everybody, you're alive.
They feel just as wet and down as this field is right out this window.
It's pretty appropriate that maybe you can hear the rain in the background because we're in a coach's box just to get a little privacy outside of the press box, and the window's open, and it is still pouring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been raining all day. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And let's just start out by saying that there was one team who dealt with the weather really well, and there was one team who didn't.
Right. Yeah, and it clearly it was not the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they had their issues, drops. You know, Aaron Rodgers admitted he missed some throws that he would normally make. He didn't really say if he felt that was due to injury or due to weather or whatever, just saying, you know, he'd taken some responsibility there. Tom, also, you know, at the post-game video of Pete Doherty at PackersNews.com, Tom, you mentioned there was one team also that looked like they practiced just once this past week. And
well, that's about the only thing the Packers can say about this game is that they were only slightly less suckier than the Vikings.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, the Vikings apparently were more sucky.
Yeah. And that's worse. I'll be honest.
To lose
getting
at
trucked
home.
By the Bills.
Yeah, at home. But hey, Packers better not, you know, turn their noses up. I mean, they play the Bills next week.
Yeah, they do. Home. Yeah, it caught their attention. I mean, guys were already, Tremont Williams said, we looked up at the scoreboard at one point and couldn't believe Buffalo was doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk about this game here. 31-17 loss to Washington. What stands out to you besides the weather?
The fact that the Washington offense looked like Green Bay's offense and vice versa. I mean, coming in, the wide receiver position had been ineffective for Washington. Leading receiver was a running back. Their longest play from scrimmage was a 52-yard catch and run by a running back.
Yeah.
Coming in, they had only 8 explosive plays in 2 games. And then obviously you get to Sunday, Tom, and it's reversed. I mean, Alex Smith's averaging 11 yards per attempt. Aaron Rodgers is averaging 6. Washington's going down the field and challenging the top end of a deep back end of a defense.
Yeah.
The Aaron Rodgers is dinking and dunking. It just that to me, I know there were defensive issues with that, but to me it was just interesting how 8 quarters turned on its head basically. Mm-hmm. In the previous 2 games to now.
Yeah. Before we get into the actual game, let's go over the injuries, which were not in favor of the Packers, although Washington had a few injuries as well. But the number one most devastating injury for the Packers was to Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Looks like he'll – I mean, there's been no announcement, but when a guy gets carted off and they put an air cast on his leg, you know that he's broken his leg and it's bad.
Right. Yeah. And usually these guys are all, you know, they react certain ways and his just visceral reaction. On the cart and I mean, you could tell the pain. That
He
was in,
the player said you could hear him screaming.
Yeah.
So. It was bad.
Yeah.
And it really, I think Kentrell Bryce came in to make a tackle on Peterson, just fell on the back of his leg.
It's every lineman's worst nightmare.
Right.
Getting rolled up from behind.
Yeah. And, you know, usually it's a knee injury. But
right.
If he broke that tibia too, that's a huge bone. And that's,
right.
you know, that's definitely season ending.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would count on, or not count on, Muhammad Wilkerson for 18. I mean, don't want to play TV doctor, but it looked every bit of it on television, as you said, as he's carted off. And I believe, Tom, that the broadcast reported he was taken out of FedEx Field.
Oh, that's right, to a hospital.
So that's a serious situation.
Yeah, so that's a pretty devastating injury. Then Brian Bulaga goes out with a back injury. Now, we don't know how serious that is, but it's significant in that he didn't play in this game.
Able to come back.
And Packers needed to throw the ball. Well, they didn't absolutely have to, but Rodgers threw it 44 times. And not having your starting right tackle is not exactly an ideal thing. And Jason Spriggs did not play very well.
No, in his absence. No, Ryan Kerrigan whooped him a few times. There were some other issues over there. And then compounding that is, at some point, Justin McCray injured his left shoulder pretty severely.
Yeah.
Lucas Patrick, first man in at right guard, gets hit with a holding or a penalty. So he's pulled. Yeah. And Byron Bell's put in.
And then Rodgers said, and they never announced it, but Rodgers said that he got hurt. I didn't see him. I don't know if he left the game or what, but we'll have to find out about him.
There was some twittering of a potential hamstring issue when he was moving around before some scrambles.
You're talking about Rodgers?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, yeah, like a hamstring.
Yeah, I was talking about Bell. He said Bell got hurt. I don't know what happened to Bell.
Yeah,
he said in his press conference. Yeah. So, you know, the Packers are basically back to where they were. They made it two games before their line is, it's not shambles. They still have David Bakhtiari, which is the most important player on the line. And they still have their center, Corey Linsley and Lane Taylor. But McCray told me that shoulder's been bothering him for a while, and it just got bad, worse and worse.
Wow.
And so, you know.
That's a wear and tear thing, then. That's not good.
That tells me that it's going to take some time for him to come back from that. So that, I believe, is there anybody else? Rodgers said
Perry left the game very late, evaluated for a concussion.
Okay.
But what was interesting there, Tom, again, there's protocols for these things, and the guys are used to it. We're used to it, seeing it. And so he walked off the field, and they took his helmet immediately, and he walked immediately to the locker room.
Mm.
Now, granted, it was late in the game, and they could say, well, you know, essentially it was over. This is in the final possessions.
Right.
But, I mean, they made that decision very, very quickly to just, okay, you're out.
Yeah. Now, Matthews went out of the game with a leg injury, but he came back.
He did.
He came back. And, of course, we're going to have to address Clay Matthews for the third week in a
row.
That's
unbelievable.
We might as well get into it right away. Yeah. We'll come back to breaking down the game. But Matthews gets hit with yet another roughing the passer penalty. And he's incredulous. McCarthy was out of his mind with the officials. And we had the pool report. Let's see if I still have it here. It was basically the official saying, well, you know, this isn't part of the new rule.
Yeah.
He's saying it's part of a rule that was in, but it's an emphasis this year.
Which is the body weight issue.
Right.
Which was not the issue with Kirk Cousins or Mitchell Trubisky. This was a separate infraction.
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins was because he lifted
and drove.
And what was Trubisky?
That was just a late hit. Trubisky had already released the ball, and at that point he was just sort of a defenseless player.
And that was a legit.
That one was, and even Clay admits that. What was interesting here, Tom, is this is where the league is going to go with this, because Daron Payne flattened Aaron Rodgers, the difference being Rodgers got rid of the ball, or did not get rid of the ball, but fell, I guess, face first into the turf, as opposed to and he was sort of moving, as opposed to this sort of clean shot. It's really, Tom, the first time Clay Matthews wasn't late.
Yeah.
I mean, it was going to be a real sack.
You know what I mean?
Right, he wasn't a step slow on this, in this instance.
He beat the right tackle back.
And it was, you know,
But here's the thing. By the letter of law, this is like the catch rule.
Yeah.
It was a penalty.
He broke the rule.
He landed with all his weight. And here's what the official Craig Rolstad said when asked about it. He said, so that's not a new rule. I had judged that the defender landed on the quarterback when he was tackling him with most or all of his body weight, and yeah. that's not allowed. If you do that, it's roughing the passer. So he was asked, what could he have done differently? And Rolstad said, I think there's been some examples on the media tapes. Those are things they send out to the yeah. players and the media. But if you got a shoulder into him and then landed on him with the most with most of his body weight off him or released him when he went down, then he would be, have been okay. But in my judgment, I ruled that he landed on him with most or all of his body weight there.
Yeah.
Now, the part of this rule that is not realistic is that there really wasn't a way for Matthews to roll off this, I think, because of right. where he was coming from and how fast he was right. coming from. Now, maybe they've got to go to this in the grasp rule now.
I was going to ask you about that this week, Tom, because I mean, I remember as a not to date you here, yeah, but I remember as a kid in the grasp as a you know,
right.
And at this point, and I remember that became such an issue for quarterbacks because they felt
controversial,
like, you know,
yeah.
they could still extend a play.
Right.
And I think
that would be really detrimental to Rodgers.
And I think, but you're at some point that the scale has to tip a little bit here. I mean, the only thing I could say that Clay Matthews rolled off of Alex Smith. There's an image going around Twitter about him sort of like, I think what the official wanted to see was, instead of like a tree falling,
mm-hmm.
he wanted to see Clay make the hit and then sort of
pick him up
and swing another way, like
yeah.
like fling him to the side or sort of like and not wait until you've already hit the ground and roll off.
Yeah.
I guess because Clay did try to roll his body off at the end of.
Yeah,
play,
a little late.
In the grasp might have to be, that might have to be the judgment call going toward the defender. If the ref has to make this judgment call,
yeah,
will he have to make that one? Like, okay, no, he's about to be sacked and hit in an illegal way.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, maybe Matthews. I'm going to look at it yeah. again later and see if there was another way. You know, maybe Matthews isn't adjusting the way they're telling him. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I guess we need to look at the media tapes. I haven't really looked at what the legal hits are, but it so much depends on how fast you're coming
yeah.
in, whether you've been pushed. You know, whether the right. lineman got a hand on you and
right.
pushed
or
you.
Or in Cousins' case, you leave your feet throwing the ball.
Right.
So you're already sort of airborne when you're
right.
when you're hit.
Right. Yeah. So either way, it was a costly penalty. But, you know, again, it wasn't the reason the Packers lost. There were a lot of reasons why
yeah,
the Packers
there was,
lost.
Right.
And I'll start with the number one, and that was the drops. You know,
yeah.
the drops, fumbles, slippery fingers. Randall Cobb had two drops and a fumble.
Yeah.
Lance Kendricks had a devastating drop.
It was. That was the one that the ball, the air just went out of the team.
Yeah.
After
right.
that.
Yep. Yep.
And, yeah.
And then, in fact, Matthews' play kind of, I thought, gave the defense a shot at that moment.
It did.
Like, all of a sudden, they played, started playing more physical and kind of got
yeah,
alive.
I think,
they were all fired up.
Yeah, I'm
it.
Curious to see. Mike Pettine called his group out for not responding last week or against Minnesota. Well, they still forced a punt. Now, where that hurt the Packers was, you know, they just had the long drive to open the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Score a touchdown. And that, you know, and then I think there was a 4th-and-2 they didn't get. That would have created, I think, like a 3rd-and-14, and instead it allowed Washington to run off the final 2.5 minutes of the
right.
quarter
right.
And into the fourth, and that just, you know, that offense at least, 4th-and-2 drop aside, at least had shown some life.
Right.
And then in the fourth quarter, it just, they had
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're down 11 points
right.
at this point. They're on Washington's 43. They make that first down. They get, at the minimum, a field
right.
goal.
Which gives you a chance to tie with an 2-point conversion.
And then they stopped them on the next drive. And then the next play, they have two offensive holding calls. And it's 3rd and 10. And they got the chance to convert. Now, that would have been, you know, a gut blow to Washington.
Yeah.
If they complete that. Because they've just been pinned down. They were down on their 8-yard line after the holding call. Then Allison got called for holding. Right. And then they hit that. Missed that play, and boy, that would have been the difference.
Yeah, it was a huge play.
And really, let's talk about the first half from a defensive standpoint. It looked like it started off kind of the way, I don't want to say the way Minnesota did, because Minnesota started
the way it ended.
That's a better way.
Mike McCarthy saw, he's like, there was a pattern there.
Yeah.
Final. Yeah.
What did you see staff, or what did players say to you?
So it was interesting. So I'm going to start Thursday night for our listeners. So Thursday night, we were able to speak to defensive coaches for the first time. And Joe Witt Jr., the defensive passing game coordinator, issued a public warning. He said, if you put that 75-yard touchdown from Cousins to Diggs on film, that's happening again. They're going to test us, meaning specifically Washington. And first play, 7 yards to Jordan Reed. Second pass play, 20 yards to Vernon Davis, who only had 2 catches prior to this game.
Yeah.
And then the very next one, 46 yards post route, it was almost a carbon copy of the Stephon Diggs
touchdown. It was a terrible throw. He underthrew him by, 5 yards, and the Packers.
There's still Kentrell Bryce and Jaire Alexander, and neither. Kentrell Bryce said he did what he was supposed to do, asked the coach. Jaire Alexander. It's just sort of danced around. Neither really wanted to say, what they felt happened there.
I'm interested to see what Leroy Butler has to say about this. So we'll be filming Monday. But it was, from what I could tell, quarters coverage. Yeah. And it looked to me like they were in Bryce's quarter.
Yeah.
Alexander had the outside,
Side, right.
which is, he's there. He has to run with
Paul Richardson.
If he runs the post, runs the corner,
right,
and the post is Bryce's, and I thought he just lost track of the ball.
Yeah, that's Paul Richardson Jr. kind of said the same thing to a degree, that he kind of noticed that the Packers were looking up. Tremont Williams. It was interesting, Spoon, because we asked these guys like, okay, is Kentrell Bryce essentially going to keep getting tested? Or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Tremont Williams said, well, yes, until you prove you can stop a thing, they'll go at you. But he also said that when they play that defense, that route is a coverage beater. And it's up to us to play it the right way, know where the weaknesses are. So, Tremont gave Washington credit for running a play that could beat that coverage, but still acknowledging the players have to. So, they're trying to walk a line there by not calling their teammates out for a busted play. But
yeah, and I think the thing about it is that I thought they had it covered. I mean, I thought Bryce was there. If he doesn't drift so far inside or looks up for the ball, that they've got it covered. It'll take some more analysis, and I'm sure they'll have a good excuse for it.
Kept going. There still were huge chunk plays to the tight ends in this first half. I mean, Vernon Davis had a 50-yard play.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson broke off a 40-yard run.
Well, let's talk about the pass interference calls, too.
Right.
Jaire Alexander had a 22-yarder. Yeah.
Tremont Williams
had one.
And Devon House, three, right.
Those just keep drives going.
Right.
And then they score on an Adrian Peterson 2-yard run.
Right.
So all of a sudden it's 14-0. And, you just look at it, they could not get off the field.
No. No pressure again. One quarterback hit in 30 minutes.
Wow.
No sacks, no tackles for loss in the first half.
I'm shocked to see that Washington only had 33 plays to Green Bay's 30, but it sure seemed like they dominated more.
It was 144 extra yards out of those. And that's why I said that I thought, whatever the limitations were Sunday, be it weather or Aaron Rodgers' injury, but the offense is flipped in that regard. Like, mm-hmm. Washington challenged down the field, you know, and Aaron Rodgers averaged 6 yards an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, he threw a lot, but even when late in the game in comeback mode, it was four yards to Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
It was 6 yards to Randall. I mean, that's just sort of what they've done, and again, be it weather or sure tackling, they weren't able to, aside from the long touchdown to Geronimo Allison on a busted coverage, the Packers didn't push the ball, really.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and I'm going to go on the record, and I have been on the record, that I wasn't in favor of them sticking another year or paying a lot of money to Jordy Nelson to stay another year. I thought he had lost a step. Now, he had a big, huge game for Oakland today in a loss, 152 yards. But this was the type of game where Rodgers needed a guy he could keep throwing it to and build some momentum. He couldn't get it to Cobb because Cobb was dropping the ball. Adams wasn't getting open.
Right.
Jimmy Graham wasn't getting open. Right. Jimmy Graham has to be that guy that Rodgers starts to hook up with. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's they're still getting to know each other or if Graham's just not as fast as he once was and isn't getting open or he's getting doubled. I don't know, but Rodgers needs that insurance guy, and that's what Nelson was. He was always there to at least get a first down if they needed
it. Yeah, no, that was lacking. I mean, I think they went through a good part of the first half where Allison wasn't targeted, Graham wasn't targeted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we know if there's one thing Aaron Rodgers does is throws it to the open guy or throws it to the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that says a lot.
Yeah.
That those guys weren't even, like, he didn't even throw it to him.
I don't think they were open.
Yeah.
I just think that the defense was good in the first half, and they couldn't find anything.
Right.
And really, they should have been focusing on running the ball more. I mean, I know they fell behind 14-0.
Right.
But you see Aaron Jones come out there, and he pops a 10-yarder
right.
and then an 8-yarder. And you're just like, keep him on the field. Now, Ty Montgomery had a good game.
He did.
Good receiving game. Jamal Williams ran tough. But when you're behind, you got to have some
explosive home run. Guy. You have to have the home run ability because that's where still running it while trailing can get you back in it.
Right.
And I'd even argue, I mean, I don't know Aaron Jones' hands at this point.
Not bad.
You
it's
know,
not as good as Jamal Williams.
So,
but.
I don't know if that was part of it as well, but you're right. He was the most explosive-looking Packers offensive player.
Yeah. Aaron Jones had 6 carries, and he had a 17, a 10, and an 8.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
It's
and then he only gets 6 carries the entire game. 17 carries to 44 passes. Actually, it's 48 if you count the sacks. So I thought McCarthy just got out of his, I don't know. He was totally lost in the passing game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started out in the third quarter, first drive, dinking and dunking their way down the field. It wasn't bad. But after that, that's when they could have used a good grinded out. They got a couple of stops.
Yeah, exactly.
They couldn't do it. You know, it was really a poor offensive performance for the most part.
It was. I think that's the thing. And again, I know this, when you have that type of quarterback, it is very hard to take it out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's obvious that it's just not as sharp or as open, what's the easiest way to do it? And I don't know, maybe he thought that the injuries on the right side of the line and the way that was going, you know, the run game wasn't going to be help them move as quickly.
Yeah.
But
They got to find a way to establish their run game.
You would think next week, I mean, because Buffalo stinks, Tom. I'm going to say it. I don't care if they had the best upset against the spread in 23 years of the NFL. They're not a good team. And what better way to protect your quarterback and sort of get good feelings offensively than run the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. They need to do that. But another thing just to touch on is I'm not sure that they're playing to Rodgers' injury. I think they have to admit that he's missing some throws,
yeah,
and there's some timing that's off. And maybe they do have to be a quicker hitting passing game, yeah, right now. I mean, he's still moving okay, but there were a number of times he moved and then the throw was off.
So, right.
Threw it in the dirt.
Right.
Threw it behind. Had a really sure first down to Devontae Adams and threw it behind, yeah, him. Threw some into the end zone that were just off.
Right.
So I think they have to figure out a way to play to his disability.
Yeah.
Is that the term? I'm not sure if that's exactly it, but,
right,
wherever he's hurting.
Yeah, and I think you can do that. I mean, I think early in the Bears game, the comeback showed a little bit of that. And I think even you mentioned the dink and dunk sort of drive to start the second half. Kind of get a guy in space and those things getting you on rhythm, especially I'm going to go back to, and we've disagreed off air a little bit on this, the lack of practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they practice for a reason. Even the quarterback practices for a reason.
Right.
And the longer you go where he doesn't throw at all, on the move to live receivers, I don't care how good he is or what the chemistry, how long it's been with Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams, that's different. I'm pointing to the field. People can't, mm-hmm, see me. That's different than the Hudson Center on a Saturday. So
yeah.
I just think, like, you're right. So to make that work or to maybe kick the rust off, maybe that, you're right, figure something else out a little earlier maybe in games to get that where you want it.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you that practice, the lack of practice, they took a day off.
Yeah.
And then Rodgers didn't practice till Saturday. I think you have to hold Rodgers out if you want him,
yes,
to play.
Yes.
I think that's just the nature of it, and he's going to be fine. I think where it's hurting, it's the other guys.
Yeah.
They're not playing with him. They're playing with DeShone Kizer.
Right.
Totally
knows how it's
different
going.
Animal.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you're running the exact same routes.
Right.
You're not getting the ball the same way.
Right.
You're not reading things. Rodgers isn't. You know, a lot of things people don't realize is in practice, after a play or something, you know, he sees something and he says, hey, let's look at this,
right,
during the game. They might play it like this, so let's do,
right,
it like that. You know, and I'm not sure that goes on,
right,
as much with DeShone Kizer.
Yeah. Those, we don't get to see those parts of practice,
right,
too. We don't even know how effective that is. I mean, we saw DeShone Kizer play,
yeah,
week one and how that went. I mean, who,
right,
knows what's happening,
yeah,
in there to keep guys sharp.
Yeah. So, all right. So they're 1-1-1. They've got Buffalo coming up. It's not the end of the world. People on the blog had everyone fired by halftime.
Right.
I mean, when is McCarthy going to go? Gutekunst has got to go. Murphy's got to go. Patton's got to go. I mean, really,
right,
let's put this in perspective. It's a game everyone thought they would win.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way the season's going to go. When your quarterback's hurt,
yeah,
you got to find other ways to win. And I think a big focus will be on the defense because they got to start coming together. They got to,
yeah,
get this system going.
And it's got to be all four quarters right away.
Yeah.
Because Bears, it took them, what, 20 plays? But you had a rookie quarterback on the road. Minnesota, they played well for a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was bad. And you know, I'm sure Washington changed up their play calls. I mean, they were trying to salt away a game with Adrian Peterson. So,
mm-hmm,
I don't think they were as aggressive second half, but they still forced punts. You know, you got a rookie quarterback, again, going to Lambeau, Josh Allen, next week.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to look better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to look for a four-quarter game, you're talking about a raw very inaccurate rookie quarterback. I'm sure they're feeling good beating the Vikings, mm-hmm. Tom, but that, I mean, the recipe for that is, it's like the Mike Pettine wheelhouse, right? Rookies don't know what they're going to throw at them, and right. on the road, all that stuff.
Yes, totally true. I saw Josh Jackson get beat yeah. by Vernon Davis. Alexander had to pass interference, but I'll tell you, the mistakes by Bryce and Clinton Dix were yeah. way more egregious.
Yeah.
Still, that touchdown to who was it down on the goal line on a slant? Was it?
Oh, that was
I can't remember.
It might have been James. Through. Was that Crowder?
Yeah, Crowder. Yeah. Yes, it was a
slant. Yeah, because Tremont Williams, and that's always the thing I like to watch too. Is these guys try to communicate?
Yeah,
and he is just sort of signaling. And he sees it and he's signaling to his right, which would be the middle of the field.
Right, you got the middle. Yeah,
and then
the middle
was open.
Dix.
Yeah.
I don't know what he bet on, but
he wasn't there in time.
Yeah, you just can't do that. He had the same, you know, and I want to look at it again before I totally blame him, but it was pretty obvious. And then, you know, last week he had the one, the Kevin King touchdown where he vacated the middle. So I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, Josh Jones is going to come back, but he's not the answer.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do at safety. They got to find a way to clean that up.
Right.
Or maybe simplify their roles. We'll have to
right.
see.
Or is Jermaine White... Now,
Jermaine White had
saw him more in the box again. So I don't know where he's at in Mike Pettine's world of coverage. Because he's the one guy... When he plays, he's been closer to line of scrimmage.
And I think there's a reason for that.
Yeah, exactly, right.
I saw him take a bad angle on Alex Smith, I think it was, on the sideline.
Yes.
And I think, you know, guys, he's better when he's near the line of scrimmage. So we'll have to see how that goes. You know, they're going to have to get some real big performances with Wilkerson gone, out of Montrevious Adams and Lowry.
Right.
Oren Burks is going to have to, he showed some flashes today. He's going to have to really come with it. And then Alexander and Jackson, and then Kevin King's got to come back. They got to get him on the field.
Right.
But, I mean, I wouldn't count on it, but they do have to keep him on the field.
Yeah, it's the secondary is, you know, Jair Alexander said he knew Alex Smith was going to look his direction as a rookie. I think Josh Jackson's the same way. But, I thought Washington respected him enough to... I mean, they tried to rub Josh Jackson off of Vernon Davis, you know, knowing that, as you wrote earlier in the week, that he can cover those guys.
Yeah.
You know, credit to Washington for running that play the right way. But you're right. I mean, again, Buffalo, they're not good. I mean, you're talking about some, like, middle-tier... They're like Washington, to be honest, with, like, sort of average-ish, middle-tier-ish receivers.
Right,
like, they got to make their hay,
I wonder when Pettine is going to start, you know, sicking the dogs on some of these quarterbacks, because...
No pass rush again today,
really. We've seen all those Jets teams where they're, you know, faking blitzes, they're blitzing, you never know. Remember how they went at the Patriots with those kind of... things? I haven't seen any of that.
Is the issue, do you think, I mean, we're seeing these breakdowns in the deep back end.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
And I mean, if you have to really, really believe in either corners or your single high, like even when they switched it to out of it, where Bryce, after the touch, I mean, it might have been early, where they went to like a single high with Ha-Ha. You have to really trust that back end.
I think so. And I think, you know, you have to trust man-to-man coverage.
Right.
Right now, I don't think you should have too much of a problem with Alexander and Tremont Williams.
No.
Tremont Williams has been pretty solid.
I think so.
But like you said, those safeties, you better be completely sure that they can cover. And that's, you know, they always talk about who did – Pettine loved to have. He had Jim Leonard back there all the time. He wanted him because he knew exactly what they were going to do and what they were supposed to do and where everyone was supposed to be. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens next week. Like you said, Buffalo's terrible, but I thought Washington was going to be terrible too, and they weren't as bad as I thought.
Right. No, I gotta give them credit
all right.
for being aggressive and running plays. And it's still... you know, the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll be that guy. I'm going to pull it back just a little bit. It's still, I think, an important three-week stretch for the offense and defense to two of them at home, winnable games mm-hmm. before you do that coast-to-coast about the Rams and Patriots.
Yeah, you have to go to Detroit, too.
And when you get, yeah, where you get more road games later in the year as that weather gets colder around that knee for the quarterback. So, time to figure it out, but, I mean, look, next week's the first quarter of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. You better start picking it up then. All right. Well, before we have to go home in a rowboat, I think we should probably get out of here. Both of us have early flights, and we'll be back with all the coverage tomorrow. So, or Monday. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Right? That's Monday? Yeah. Okay. I think I got it now. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll start the music and talk to you again on Friday morning.